Our guest today has turned his digital marketing expertise into eight-figure dropshipping sales. And today, he's sharing his secrets to attracting customers to a brand new e-commerce store, his take on the latest dropshipping trends and how you can profit from them, and what exactly to do if you're starting a brand new e-commerce store in 2024. I'm Alex Freeman, and you're listening to the Upflip Podcast, where we uncover how great businesses are built, how they're run behind the scenes, and how you can replicate their success. Every week on the show, you'll hear conversations with entrepreneurs who share their secrets to grow and scale a business. We start with their background and how they got started, then segue into the business section where we give you some useful resources. And finally, we'll ask some FanBlitz questions directly from our YouTube community. Every episode wraps up with my three takeaways that are key points you won't want to miss. Emin Khan is a genius in sales and marketing. He has made more than $20 million from his business in just 5 years. He invested over $100,000 into digital marketing and e-commerce courses, coaching, and masterminds. And today, I'm having a rare chance to pick his brain and share some insane value bombs with you. Emin, thank you so much for joining us. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, man.
To get things started, just kind of the big broad question here, what made you want to become an entrepreneur?
Good question, man. It was a couple of different things. I grew up very, very poor. I didn't really have a family of entrepreneurs. They were all just go to school, become a doctor, become an engineer, become an accountant, that kind of mindsets. And then as I started growing up, I saw people around me with bigger houses, better cars, more fancy lifestyles. And I thought only celebrities could achieve that type of status with type of material possessions. And I think it was one of the situations where I wanted to be able to achieve those things, get those things, but I knew a job couldn't get me there. So I just went like my early childhood to probably my teens and my 20s. I just kept getting fired from one job to another job, another job. And I thought something was really wrong with me. In fact, I was a top performer in pretty much every position I was working for, but there's nothing wrong with me. It was just, I was never cut out to work for anybody. I just don't like authority. I don't like people. I'm monetizing my time. I value my time very religiously. So somebody pays me 6 figures per year. I'm like, well, you should tell me 1 year of my life is worth 6 figures to you. I just find it disrespectful. You know, I like to control my time. I like to monetize my own time. So everything I do, I put a unit of 1 hour of my time, I put a dollar value behind it. So when I give it to certain tasks, I know how much time and value I'm giving. So I want my income to be relative to the value I provide, not by the hours I work. So it was kind of a combination of things, more just appreciating and, you know, valuing my own time and also trying to live a better lifestyle and, you know, coming from a poor childhood.
So what brought you to e-commerce and drop shipping as kind of the entrepreneurial outlet that you opted to pursue?
Yeah. So back then, I mean, compared to now, when you go online and YouTube and these different platforms, there's so much content and courses and free value you can get. Like 10, 15 years ago, when I was growing up, especially in Cleveland, Ohio, and I didn't have anybody around me, I knew the internet was a thing. Back then, dropshipping was not really big. It wasn't as, you know, mainstream as it is now. I was like, I want to be able to make money online, but like, how do I start? So when I used to work for this consulting firm back in the day, I used to travel around 35 weeks a year consulting with all these type of companies. They did revenue from like a couple of million to hundreds of millions of dollars per year, manufacturing companies, tech companies, pharma companies. And the businesses I saw go from zero to making millions of dollars the fastest were online companies. I used to go travel 35 weeks a year. I'll be in New York City. I'll be in Detroit. I'll be in Florida. And I would spend like a week at the headquarters of these companies and analyze the entire businesses. So a couple of times I got to spend time at e-commerce companies that had a digital presence and they're making money online. And I'm like, these guys have a staff of like less than 10 people and they're making millions of dollars a month. And then you have these other companies, the manufacturing company, that have hundreds of employees and they're making, you know, millions of dollars, but like at 2% margins and just so labor intensive. So a light bulb went off in my head. I'm like, well, if I can do this same thing at a smaller scale by myself and I can learn these online skills, whether it's, you know, learning Facebook ads, Google ads, Snapchat, TikTok, I mean, email marketing, there's so many things you can get into. If I learn these basic fundamental skills, how to market myself online, I knew it was going to be a very valuable skill. It'll pay off in the future. And I saw where a lot of retailers were shutting down, going bankrupt and going out of business. So I just saw this trend and everything's just shifting online. So I think it was a combination of my consulting experience and seeing these online businesses and also seeing, just following the market, where the market was headed, and these retail bankruptcies that kind of led me into the online space.
What did that first year look like for you? Like maybe it was more than a year, maybe it was less than a year, but like how long did it take you to kind of say, okay, this is what I'm doing? And then like to get to the point of being able to say, oh, this is actually working. I can now grow this, scale this. I don't have to go find another job that I might get fired from.
Yeah, no, good question. When I got started, it was about 8-9 years ago. I was living back in Chicago. My dad got diagnosed with ALS disease. It's a pretty horrible disease. There's no cure. There's no cause for it. It's a very rare disease. And at that time, I was working at this firm and they wanted me to travel. You know, consultants travel 35 weeks a year. And I couldn't travel because my dad's in the hospital. He has his terminal illness. My mom is in drive. So that probably was a pivotal point for me where I was working for this firm and I got on a call with them. Like, guys, I can't travel. My dad's in the hospital. He's really sick. And the position really entailed me having to travel a lot. And they just weren't understanding. And it was just, they didn't like my tone. And some words were said and went back and forth. They basically let me go. And they fired me in the worst possible time. And at that time, I was kind of already, you know, learning about the online space a bit. So when this situation happened, I lost my job. I got fired. So now I'm collecting unemployment. You know, my income goes from, you know, X to making maybe 30-40% of the income I was making before. So I'm not barely making ends meet. And I used to literally take my mom and drop her at the hospital where my dad was staying at and go to nearby Starbucks and spend like 10-15 hours a day at the Starbucks, just learning about online marketing, Shopify, e-commerce, about Facebook traffic, buying courses, consuming content. Because again, like, you know, I was saying previously, I wanted my income to be detached from the time I put in, but I knew I had to put in the initial time to learn the basic fundamentals. And I think this is where a lot of people fail because they want to try something, but they expect instant results. But then like they go to school for 4 years and, you know, the job's never guaranteed, but then they try a business for 1-2 weeks and they fail or they don't get the result and they quit. So I knew I had to put in the time, whether it was like 1 month, 6 months, or 12 months. And I almost for like 7, 8, 9 months, I was literally going to Starbucks literally every single day, almost every single day, and spending 10-15 hours a day learning about these online marketing skills until I got to a point where, you know, I was making a decent amount of money. Like the first year I made about 130K and then it kind of following years got better and better and better.
How long did it take you to kind of start generating that revenue once you started on the journey?
Well, the first year, you know, I made about 130, 140K, but the profitability was very, very low because just like any business, you're learning the ins and outs of the business itself. So you're reinvesting things. So any profits you make, you put it back into the business or you spend money on, like, say, coaching and courses. So I was actually a decent amount of debt the first year, you know, 130K, which is pretty good. Take home was like very little. The following year, you know, the first year was learning the fundamentals, but I knew they're going to pay off. The following year, you know, I hit 100K in a month. And then we had like a team of myself, like a couple of other like virtual assistants. And then the following year, we hit $1 million per month. The only difference was learning information, putting systems in place, getting a team together, you know, going out to China, spending a lot of time there, understanding the full skill of the business. It's not just like throwing up some ads and making some sales. There's a lot of data and strategy and creativity that goes behind it. I think that's a lot of people fail because, number one, they expect instant fast results. As fast as money comes, it goes really fast too. But if you sit there and learn the fundamentals and you're okay with being a flatline, right, you're basically making no money and then you understand the fundamentals of the business, what's going to happen is if you put in enough hours into that business or whatever you're trying to learn, after a certain period of time, it's going to shoot up like a hockey stick. It always does. If you put in enough time to something and you master it, it will shoot up like a hockey stick. And that's literally what happened with me. I put in my time. It was a really tough time too. I was going through a lot of depression, anxiety. My dad's laying at the hospital and, you know, a loss of income. It was going through a lot. And for me to be able to push through that, you know, I could look back and like, wow, I'm so happy. I went through that route and through those trials and tribulations, I was able to push forward and, you know, achieve what I was able to achieve.
Are you looking to learn from real life inspirational e-commerce success stories? Then you should be adding the E-Commerce Master Plan podcast to your must listen list. Each week, they release a new episode interviewing an e-commerce founder or getting all masterclassy with an e-commerce expert. And right now, there are over 450 episodes in the back catalog for you to dive into. Get your e-commerce fill now. Listen to the E-Commerce Master Plan podcast.
Listeners, welcome to the Upflip Business section. One big trend that we're seeing in dropshipping right now is TikTok dropshipping. We talked to Stone Ross, who's one of the early leaders in that space. You can hear his advice for how to get started with TikTok dropshipping in episode 106 of the Upflip podcast. Back to the conversation with Emin. How have things shifted in e-commerce and dropshipping from when you started? So if one of our listeners is saying, hey, I want to get into this, I want to put in my time, I want to growth like a hockey stick, how is their experience going to be different from yours if they started today?
Yeah, good question. When I was doing it back then, there's a lot of restrictions that would happen, mainly on the advertising platforms gotten more strict. Stripe's gotten more strict. Shopify has gotten more strict. Facebook especially has gotten more strict. Back then, people could, you know, set up a ugly general type of store, put like hundreds of products on there, test them through Facebook ads, and start doing sales relatively fast. And they're, you know, profitable as well too, if you knew what you were doing. Nowadays, it's a little more harder. So the bad dropshippers have been kind of weeded out. The bad e-commerce people have been weeded out. So you have to spend more time on, essentially, you can dropship, but it has to be more on a like a branded site. So it doesn't look like you're dropshipping, but in the back end, you could be dropshipping, but you had to be able to take like a product or, you know, a couple of products in a specific niche and put it in a nicely designed, well-branded store. It looks like you have a legitimate brand. So I think a lot of people, they look for these magic tricks or these magic formulas, how to get sales or things like that. They'll take like a dozen products and they'll test, you know, one product, like $5, $10, $15, another product, $5, $15. Go from one product to another product. When you can actually take one product and just focus on that one product and just go dig deep and just build a whole brand around that one product. This is the new age dropshipping. You're essentially taking one product and you're building a whole brand around that one product and you're scaling that up to like millions of dollars. So I think people need to stop focusing on, hey, let's just test 10, 15, 30, 40, 50 products. And then, you know, some of these younger kids, they don't have the budget to test any products. They're just blowing through their budget and they're really making any income either and looking for these crazy strategies. But I would say take one or two products, find a need in the market and brand that product really, really well. You know, set up a nice store and learn traffic and scale that out.
How do you go find that product?
Instead of, you know, you going out and spending a tons of money of like getting hundreds of thousands of products and testing those products, take one or two, three products and just focus on testing those. And you can test them at really low budgets, right? You can do organic marketing and there's also like paid media marketing too. There's also spy tools as well. There's one called Minia, for example, where you can go in and see which products are kind of trending and you can take a product and test it in a very low budget via dropshipping. And if the product does well on dropshipping, then you can take that same product, private label it, package it, and kind of turn it into like a more of a branded product that you can, you know, build a whole like brand around. But yeah, spy tools are good. Looking at market needs, I really honestly think you can literally take and build a brand out of thing. You look at like, for example, water, right? Which is the most basic thing. Water is a very commoditized product. Water, go to a store, costs 50 cents, a dollar. But if you take that same bottle of water and you add some ingredients to it and you're like, well, this water has these 10 health benefits. Can you help you do this? So now the perceived value of that water is going to go up in your head because you know that it has this other additional health benefits versus you marketing that water as just water. So it's just, I think it's just taking a product and showing people the perceived value of that product versus like your competitors.
Yeah, I think that's a really interesting point, especially like thinking like the water example is really powerful, right? That there's, you think about like Liquid Death, there's a lot of water brands that have accomplished that where what they're marketing is water. They've just found a really interesting way to do it. You know, dropshipping is also one of those things that is often billed online as you can start making money without putting any money in. Like how true is that online trope that dropshipping is something somebody can get into for no money? Or is there an expected investment that somebody should be anticipating making if they're going to get into dropshipping?
I think that's a fallacy. Some of these online kind of gurus, some of these ads you see like pop up in those courses, right? You know, start dropshipping with no money. It is a bit of like a kind of clickbait title. That's not true at all. Dropshipping does take money just like any other business. I don't think the capital requirements as high, you know, compared to, let's say, you opening up like a brick and mortar retail store where you have to worry about the rent and overhead and employees and all these additional expenses. So dropshipping, you know, I think the catch is like, hey, you can literally have no investment in terms of the product side. But on the advertising side, with like, for example, like, let's say you rank Facebook ads, you know, which is 90% of our traffic, Facebook and TikTok and Snapchat and a couple of the platforms, you do need to have money to test products. And, you know, if a product doesn't do well, then it's like, well, you know, either move on to a new product and test that product or like you continue testing that same product. But like starting with zero money, it's, I think, virtually impossible. I tell people, like, if I have students or coaching students that want to come to me and like, you need at least, you know, let's say a couple thousand dollars to start, ideally, to be able to test products on the dropshipping side. And if a product does well, I want them to graduate that product and turn it into actually a legit single product that you can build a whole brand around. Because when you build a brand, you know, you kind of differentiate yourself and you set yourself apart from the rest of the people who are just every single day, you know, trying to find a new little haystack, trying to find products, winning products, and test one product after one product, and they're blowing through the entire budget. Especially if you're a teenager in your early 20s, you come out of school or you're in high school, like most of these young guys are not going to have the budget to continuously test products every single day.
What are those best platforms for new dropshippers in 2024 going to be? What are they currently? Where should somebody get started?
TikTok shops just started fourth quarter last year. I do feel that TikTok shops or this year or next year is going to be able to compete with Amazon and Shopify. It's going to be super huge. So I do you know, recommend people do Shopify. Also look into TikTok shops as well too. TikTok shops are charging zero fees right now and for new e-commerce people, and they're a very smart play. They have over, you know, 1 billion users and they have people coming to platforms. So previously when people were on TikTok, for example, they would, as a product that would be advertised, people would have to go to Shopify and buy it. But now TikTok built the old in-house e-commerce platform within TikTok itself. So now people can buy right on TikTok and then TikTok takes a piece of every transaction. So that's going to be, I think, super huge. I would recommend, you know, people look into it because you can actually make a lot of money on TikTok shops without actually running any ads. So, you know, come back to your previous question, how much capital you need? TikTok Shop is actually a platform where you can actually start with very, very minimum capital compared to even Shopify, because you don't even need to run ads. All you got to do is get good at creating like viral content. And there's a whole strategy around AI and creating viral content to be able to get sales into your store. Maybe we've done like 6 months with TikTok shops all organically. Wow. It's pretty insane. Yeah. So, but yeah, again, like Mini, I mentioned, is a good spy tool for you to help like find like winning products. It's a pretty popular tool. There's tons of other ones. There's like Ad Sector, there's Power Ad Spy, there's tons of other spy tools as well you can link to. But I think Mini, in terms of like e-commerce, is a very good one.
This is going to bring us to a section of the show that we call our Fan Blitz questions. These questions come from our YouTube community. Listeners, you can head over to youtube.com/upflip and pose questions to future podcast guests. Evan, are you ready for these from the listeners?
Let's do it.
All right. First one here from Bobni D. Balek 7168. Do you feel that dropshipping is on the decline, and what's the next wave of e-commerce going to look like?
Dropship as a business will never die, because if you understand dropshipping as a business model, dropshipping is literally the arbitrage without you owning the asset, right? If you look at a real estate agent, for example, a real estate agent goes to insurance properties and doesn't actually own the property, right? He's essentially dropshipping the property because he has a buyer on one side and a seller on the other side. So he's literally showing the property and trying to sell it on behalf of the seller. So dropshipping in terms of like e-commerce, it's never ever going to die. I think it's just evolving where you have to take products where you're dropshipping and then take winners and actually turn them into brands. And then your ultimate goal is, number one, is like for sure cash flows. But number two is like you want to be able to have an exit plan where you build up the brand and you can sell it to another company or a private equity firm or a venture capital firm and acquire the company, and you can cash out. And then you take that cash and you can put it into other investments, real estate portfolio, and other things as well. So yeah, the dropshipping model is not going to die. It's here to stay. It's just, I think, evolving. I think the advertising has become a little more tougher, if anything else, because now people who are advertising products have to become more better marketers and trying to grab the attention of the same people, because the cost of Facebook ads has definitely gone up over the last couple of years since when I started.
This next question kind of piggybacks off the back of that from Brodian 4543. What are those best ways to get customers? And is there a rule of thumb for how much you should be spending on advertising?
What I do is there's different ways to do it, right? If you look at crafting an offer, right? What I focus a lot now on these days is we take a product and sometimes we'll have our loss leader. So the front end of a product, sometimes we'll break even sometimes take losses. And a lot of people want to make sales profits up front. So you can run ads, these things will happen. Either you're making profits up front, you're breaking even, or you're making a loss. So somebody's breaking even or making a loss. What a lot of people will do starting out, they'll cut the product. Well, it's not making profits from day one. I'm just going to cut the product. But what you have to do is think of it in terms of like a sales funnel on LTV. So if the first product you're selling is breaking even or is a loss leader, it's completely okay. I will have a funnel built out in the back end, like 2, 3, 4 upsells where all my profits will come from. So it's okay to lose money as long as I acquire the customer in the front end. Because let's say you're selling a product for, I don't know, $50, but your cost of acquisition is going to be $60, $70 because maybe the audience you're advertising to is very expensive. It's okay as long as you acquire the customer, but you have a strong back end built out with a bunch of upsells and downsells. You acquire a customer and they're being offered an upsell and downsell, I will make all my profits in the back end and still be profitable, and I'm okay losing money in the front end.
This one from Betsy Lang 9607, who says, I know nothing about this and I would have no idea how to start. Is it very complicated?
Not at all. I think, you know, if you're just starting out, just to learn like a basic fundamentals, you can just go on YouTube. There's plenty of content on YouTube to get started. I think that probably would be a best bet. You know, there's a lot of people sending courses, things like that too, which you can buy. But in the beginning, you're just trying to get a taste of it, right? Hey, is this for me or is it not for me? I think YouTube content would probably be the best, just to learn, hey, how is it set up? How do you set up a website? How do you hire freelancers to build your website? How do you, you know, run Facebook ads? The basic fundamental stuff. And, you know, if you like it, if you like the concept of it, if you like the setup and the work involved, and you're generally interested, then you can, you know, dive into it more. Because I'll spend like, last year I spent like over 6 figures on coaching programs and different things like that. I'm constantly investing in myself because I'm very, very deeply invested in this industry. So, you know, initially, I think there's a lot of free content for you to consume. And then I think once you get into it and you actually enjoy it, you know, then you can dig deeper and actually start investing more into it.
That's going to do it for our Fan Blitz questions. Listeners, don't forget, head over to youtube.com/upflip and post questions to future podcast guests. I mean, one of the things that often comes up with e-commerce, drop shipping, you've mentioned one of the reasons you became an entrepreneur is wanting to control your time. And so often that we end up talking about passive income. So like, how passive are your e-commerce operations now that you've kind of built them out?
Initially, they're very, very labor intensive. I have a rule, any business I get into, especially the e-commerce stuff, if I can't get into it and systemize things and walk away from it and have it making money without me being there, I don't want to be involved in it. That's just my theory in any business that I get involved into. So the e-commerce stuff specifically, in the beginning, this is how I run things. I like to learn how to do everything. And if I need to obviously outsource certain elements of it, I will, or bring it in-house. But you need to learn how the entire business works initially. And so you're going to put in a lot of hours in. So now, over time, once you learn the things, you'll start systemizing repetitive tasks. You have employees, virtual assistants. I mean, I've had hundreds of virtual assistants working for me at any point in time. You start systemizing things, and it's now, you know, from a product research process to the fulfillment process, running ads, campaign setup, order fulfillment, customer service, all that stuff can be completely automated to a point where all you're doing is checking the dashboard, making sales are coming in. No issues happening in terms of like the ad accounts, things like that. So, I mean, you can get it from, you know, initially, I think you have to put in a lot of time. I think over a period of time, you can get it down to maybe 5 hours a week, 6 hours a week, 10 hours a week, just checking into the stats. And especially if you have multiple stores running like we do, you know, just kind of looking at a high level and make sure there's no operational issues, or like payment processor is fine, PayPal is fine, Stripe is fine. As long as these kind of, you know, higher level things are fine and business is running smoothly, you can just continue churning stuff, right? It just, you have a system in place. And I think pretty much anything in online space can be definitely for sure systemized.
In your e-commerce journey, have you ever run into something where you're like, this has actually been nearly impossible to systematize, or have you been able to systematize every element so far?
Eventually, we figure it out. You know what I mean? Like, we're entrepreneurs, right? We're entrepreneurs. So half our day, or half our like a week is figuring out problems, issues. And half the time is actually other stuff, right? Issues, problems will pop up all the time. So I think everything we've had, we figured out. Like, for example, there was a phase where we kept on getting our ad accounts shut down, and business managers, peripheral profiles restricted, payment processes restricted and shut down because it was scaling up too fast. So, and we came up with a solution for all of those. You know, we have reaching out to other people in the industry, doing masterminds. And I think that's one element I want to mention is community and masterminds are super important, because if you're having a problem, I'm guaranteed somebody else is having a problem. And if you can text them and be like a call or text away how they solve that problem, you can literally have it solved within a matter of hours instead of waiting days and weeks.
What's the biggest mistake that you made when you first started drop shipping, and what did you learn from it?
The biggest mistake, initially, some of the courses I was taking, you know, sometimes there's a saying, the blind leading the blind. There's a saying around that. When you listen to the wrong people giving the wrong information about the type of things that you know, do, and like some guy will make $1,000 on a store and like all of a sudden will create a course and start selling the course. And you have to be very, very careful who you trust out there in the space, because some of these people don't have the credibility to be able to give you the right information. And then you start following them, consuming the information they have. And then they kind of lead you to the wrong path. I had situations where that's exactly what happened to me. I invested in some courses and things like that too, and it wasn't the good information. And I learned some wrong tactics. So I had to go back and, you know, get into some higher level groups and kind of unwired my brain to think like that, because I just got wired to think a certain way. I thought this is how I was supposed to be, or this, how to run, like, you know, say Facebook strategies or how to set up campaigns. And it was the completely wrong way. So I think unwiring yourself and making sure the person that you're listening to is credible and they already has success and they can show you the success, and listening to those type of people, I think would be, you know, a mistake and also like a solution as well too. So just following the right people, and, you know, also not listening to your friends and family. If your friends and family wants to give you advice, but they don't have experience in the thing that you're trying to make money in, or you're trying to do, probably should listen to that. People that are your friends and family. Like, I would never go listen to hard advice from a pilot, or I would go to a pilot and listen to hard advice, because that's not the thing they specialize in. So just make sure the information you're consuming is from a credible source. And I think that's another mistake I made early on, because I was listening to the information from the wrong sources, and they weren't even credible enough to provide that information. They were friends and family, so I just consumed that information. So just be careful what you listen to. I think that could be like a day and night difference in your success.
I really like that advice, because I do think that there are so many of us that have that attitude of like, my dad knows everything. It probably doesn't know everything. You mentioned that once you've been able to systematize everything, most of your day with the e-commerce store, or most of the limited hours you're spending, are looking at the various dashboards and metrics. What are those metrics and numbers that you're tracking for your e-commerce store? And what are those telling you about the business?
I make all the decisions based off of numbers. At the end of the day, marketing, paid media, media buying, it's all based off numbers and data. So if the numbers don't make sense and if they're not jiving, you know, I make all my decisions based off data. Marketing is numbers. So when I look at a business, I look at my e-commerce or a dashboard, the high level stuff, right? You have your revenue, you have your COGS, you have your gross margins, then you have your variable costs, which are all your salaries, expenses, things like that too. And then you have your net profit after that. So on dropshipping in general, unless you're doing like a brand, margins traditionally are going to be anywhere between 15% to 25%, 23% kind of. But we make up a lot of that in terms of volume because the amount of volume we're doing, I'm okay with taking 15% because we do such large volume.
Lots of gold in this interview. If you could pick the one thing that listeners take away from it, what would it be?
And number one is what I tell people in any business that you start with, whether it's this or any business, you need to have the proper mindset. So a lot of people come up to me. I get, like I said, a bunch of people every single time at the gym or when I'm out somewhere, come up to me. Hey, I saw your podcast. I saw this. Can you give me some? And ask some questions. They ask me all the e-commerce questions and all these crazy strategies and things they learn. I keep stuff very simple. You know, number one is like, if you start something and you try for 1 or 2 weeks and you quit, you don't have a business problem. You have a mindset issue. So what I need you to do is I need you to go back and fix your mindset. That's why I'm bringing the personal development. If you have the right proper mindset of not quitting when things don't go the right way initially and you completely quit, that's, I think, the basis fundamentals and the groundwork foundation that you need to be able to have success.
Where can listeners learn more about you and what you're up to?
The two main platforms would be Instagram and YouTube. Instagram, you know, I'm very, very active on Instagram. It's mn_khan. And then YouTube, I'm building a YouTube as well too. So I have a YouTube channel as well too. I try to provide a decent amount of value, but sometimes, small through the business, so I don't have time to put out content, but that's probably the two main platforms. The TikTok is kind of coming, but YouTube and Instagram probably would be the main two platforms.
That was my conversation with Emin Khan about dropshipping and other e-commerce topics. And one thing that I really liked about that conversation was because he didn't have any entrepreneurial role models in his life, it was a bit of a longer journey to get there and becoming an entrepreneur. What that led to was him putting in the time, that kind of second takeaway for me from this episode.
It's a pleasure, man. Thank you for having me.
He really made this great point where people go to school for 4 years. They get their college degree because that seems to be the thing to do so that they can get a good job. But that good job is not a guaranteed thing. But then when they go to launch a business, so many people giving it 1 to 2 weeks and then saying, well, obviously not going to work out. Investing that time into the new business is such an important thing that we hear from Emin. We've heard from a lot of the entrepreneurs we've talked to on this show. Finally, the last piece of advice that I really loved from him was that if your friends and family don't have experience in what you're trying to do, why are you listening to them for advice on what you should do in this thing that you're trying to pursue? Listen to yourself, listen to your mentors, go find those experts and listen to them and use that to build your business and your future. Listeners, you can find more advice for how to start a business the right way on the Upflip Hub. Or head over to episode 164 of the Upflip YouTube channel to find out how Eric Sue acquired Single Grain with just $2 and grew it into a $14 million a year digital marketing agency. I'm Alex Freeman. You've been listening to the Upflip Podcast. Have a great week. Emin Khan, thank you so much for joining us.
It's a pleasure, man. Thank you for having me.